Welcome to the Mark in the Morning podcast. Want to receive this daily? Search Mark in the Morning on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes. Yes, oh yes. Good morning.
I'll join
pumped
you in that
and
clap.
To be here.
Pumped and amped.
So first of all, I got a bone to pick with Dave Biesing because he gave me that app, the thing I used yesterday.
Oh, the translator? Yeah.
All I do now is sit around saying dirty words into my phone so I can hear it in Russian.
Nice. Well,
and Cantonese.
You almost caused an international incident with it yesterday. So.
All right. If memory serves, we had Paris Hilton yesterday with the ID. So now... your goal is to try to top Bullwinkle J. Moose. I don't know that you ever will, but Andy, you're on the board for the legal ID.
Well, today it's going to be delivered by beloved American recording artist Bing Crosby.
Oh, I love Bing Crosby.
Hey, bud. How's it going, bud? You know, I got a big boat with a big boom bow.
Wow.
100.3 The Sound is KSF at WDFM and HD1, bud. Los Angeles and Orange County. Southern California's classic rock. Bomb, 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 bomb.
Oh, that's strong. That's strong. Well, I don't know what's happening. We have, again, we're guilty of too much show. Today, a producer has reached out. He wants to get on the air with us and run by some of the pitches that he has to get movies made. He's not quite sure which ones work.
On this show?
On this show today, on this show, like 7:30, he'll run those pitches by us. We have Name That Tune with Skeeter. Skeeter's my wife. This is a game we've been playing since we've been married. We will fully explain momentarily. We have a little bit of an announcement to make. Nothing major, but a good announcement. Ronda Rousey of the UFC is going to be on. This woman could kick all our asses in 1 minute.
She's a badass. And if I may say so, she's incredibly good looking.
Is she going to be in the studio or is she going to be on the
telephone? That's none of your concern, Andy.
I just want to know if I should gird my loins or not.
Danny, she's not in the room. Is that correct?
Oh, whoops. Well, it's her decision. That's sure.
Whatever. Yeah, wherever she wants to she is the
very,
name of the end
romantic.
Of that sentence.
All right, and some of our trending moments. Was John Travolta being creepy at the Academy Awards? Another state is smoking the ganj. Viewers are not missing Brian Williams. There is dissension in the yoga world. And Andy, look at Gina. Gina has been holding back on us.
Oh, yeah?
What?
Oh, yes. Can't wait for the reveal. All of it will come your way.
Yeah.
This
I'm
morning.
Intrigued. I want to listen to this show.
This is Mark in the Morning on 100.3 The Sound. Got some good news coming.
Just take those old records off the shelf.
Now, as you know, Seeger, Bobby, I like to call him Robert, he's going to be at the Forum on Friday night. Here's the good news. Guess what we have? We have not one. We have two front row tickets.
What?
Yeah, to see Bob on Friday night. Now, you're sitting there going, I'd like to win those. Here's how you do it. You simply go to thesoundla.com and you vote on your favorite Bob Seger song. Then you're entered. You're entered for the two front row tickets. And then Friday morning, day of the show, we're going to count down the top 10 most voted on Bob Seger songs voted on by you. And then one of you will win two front row tickets to see Bob Seger at the Forum on Friday night.
You
How
said
is that?
We had tickets. I thought you meant we had front row
No,
tickets.
You have nothing. You have nothing, and you'll like it.
They have front row tickets, is what
yes.
I'm trying to say.
What are your qualifications?
Ah, well, I'm a graduate of the Harvard Business School. I travel quite extensively. I lived through the Black Plague, and I had a pretty good time during that. I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every single time I see it!
So... this is trending. Everybody's looking at it, and I get it. I see it, and it was sad. Michael Keaton, when it was time for the best actor to be announced, Michael Keaton had obviously taken his speech out of his left breast pocket, and he was holding it. They then say, not him. And as What was the gentleman's name?
Eddie Redmayne.
As he was walking to the stage, Michael was fumbling to get his speech back into his pocket.
God, it's so cringeworthy, poor thing.
Now, how do we know that was his speech?
Well, you're right. It was his grocery list. It was an appropriate time to take that out.
It could have been his dry cleaning ticket.
Yes. Uh-huh.
No. Look, I get it. I feel bad. It was really sad. You can see it. It's a little 10-second clip. We don't know for a fact that it was his speech, but it was his speech.
You know what clip you need here is the one from the Cars movie, you know, the animated thing where Lightning jumps out. He thinks he's won the race.
Right.
And then Chick, played by Michael Keaton, comes out and says, "Hey, I wouldn't feel bad about that because I didn't do it."
All right, we're going to do some rocking. Our phone number in here is 888-696-1003. You got a question? You got a comment? Don't call. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Let's find out what's trending. Here is Jeaner.
Eddie Ray Routh was found guilty of capital murder Tuesday night in the shooting deaths of American sniper Chris Kyle and his friend Chad Littlefield. Kylie Jenner just spent her Keeping Up with the Kardashian paycheck on a $2.7 million mansion in Calabasas, California. And this just in, Doug McIntyre from KABC just mentioned on his show that when Mark and Brian worked there, they would urinate outside on the building every day for 25 years.
I don't even know why he's bringing that up, because Doug would come outside and take a crap, so I don't know what he's outing us for.
No, Doug would go outside and feed all the stray cats and then take them home. And here's what's trending in sports. Lakers guard Ronnie Price is scheduled to have surgery tomorrow morning to remove a bone spur from his right elbow. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online on Mark in the Morning.
Okay. Andy, Gina, pretty sweet, innocent Gina. She's not been completely honest with us, you, me, the listeners. Gina, is there anything you want to tell
us? She's looking at me doe-eyed right now. And
I'm just as excited to figure out what the hell you're talking about as you are.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
All right, Gina, I'm going to give you a little hint.
All right.
I'm going to give you an audio hint.
Oh, God.
And then if you pick up on it, then you will have an opportunity to cleanse yourself.
Okay.
Here we go.
Do I want a Kit Kat bar? It sounded like give me a brain.
Give me a head with hair. Long, beautiful hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. What
Ladies and gentlemen, Gina is now about to cleanse her soul.
Dare I? Okay,
you
so
dare.
Some little canary sang, apparently, over to Mark Thompson. I was telling, simply, innocently telling a story on the Adam Carolla podcast where I do the news over there, that I may or may not have, when I was 18 years old, done a production of Hair at the University of Kansas, fully nude.
Wow.
Now you got to remember this. I know I'm a hot little ticket these days, but think of an 18-year-old version of Gina. You're welcome. Totally. Now, here's the problem. This was done in Kansas. Of course, Fred Phelps was there with his whole troop to protest, and our parents were there, grandparents, aunts, uncles. These are people that have supported me my entire life in my theatrical journey. And here I am, just making them a little less proud by the minute. Yes, I was fully nude in a production of Hair. I was also a nude model. I was really, really into the artsy-fartsy hippie stuff. I thought it made me really cool. And there you have it.
Wow. Well, who supported you during the production?
Yeah.
I'm going to put an eye out.
Well, so, and the thing is I started dating the guy that I was naked dancing with. My dad wanted to either kill him or kill himself.
Do you remember the words to this song?
To Hair?
Yeah.
For sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gina will now perform. She's clothed this time, but here, let's go back to the 18-year-old Gina. Check it out.
Give me a head with hair, long, beautiful hair. Shiny, gleaming, gleaming flocks of waxing. Give me down to there, hair, shoulder length longer. Here, baby, there, down
my get it!
Everywhere, daddy, daddy, hair.
Yes. Now, you know, I did sing my solo. I did sing Frank Mills on stage with clothes. I sang all of that. So, yes, I Musical theater backgrounds do crazy things to people, everybody.
I love it. I love it too much. And I want to thank listener Steve for sending that little ditty along.
Yeah, me too, Steve. Meet me out by the parking lot. We're going to have a couple of words.
Oh, that's too good. I love it too much. I wish I could have seen that production.
That was wonderful, that been, by
yeah,
the way.
It was really
thank
good.
You,
I mean, well, you. Well done.
I'm different today.
Yeah. Well, John Travolta is being accused of acting a little creepy at the Oscars, but his rep says it was on purpose. The star had people talking after he got handsy with Idina Menzel grabbing her face during the awards telecast. I will say that I noticed that. Mm-hmm. But then he apparently, on the red carpet, kissed Scarlett Johansson, and she pulled back and gave him the side eye. Like, why did you do that? I don't know you that well. His rep says it was rehearsed. John Travolta loved working with Idina. John had a great time at the Oscars because his wife Kelly and daughter Ella were in attendance with him. That doesn't explain why he was coming off a little creepy.
Yeah.
Got a letter in my life.
Did you guys notice any of this?
Well, the Idina Menzel I thought was cute because of what happened last year when he totally butchered her name. But with all the face touching, it not only was it creepy to watch, but if I was Idina, I'd be like, dude, I spent 6 hours in a makeup chair, and it wasn't so you could put your greasy hands all over me. That's just
so. I don't know. I did notice the Idina thing. I saw the story yesterday that he kissed Scarlett Johansson. Apparently, they don't know each other that well, so that came off odd.
Well,
so.
Yeah.
What I'm surprised at is that your headline was John Travolta acting creepy.
Well taken. I'm going to make a confession here. This morning was my first time, as I was prepping the story, to hear anything from Oasis, and I may be hooked.
Oh, it's a good band, solid band.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you gotta do.
Well, imagine this. Mick Jagger and Courtney Love hooked up for a karaoke duet on this song at a post-Oscar bash Sunday night. A guest leaving the party described it for the British tabloid, calling it an absolute scream and a real crowd pleaser, with guests crowded around, clapping and singing along with them. Mick was said to be really giving it some swagger, while Courtney was absolutely loving it, watching it as along with the rest of the crowd. Leonardo DiCaprio and Bradley Cooper witnessed this wildness. It took place at an unnamed Beverly Hills location. Afterwards, Courtney tweeted to Mick, "All right, man, that was fun." What is the biggest person you've run into at a party? Like, you're at a party just enjoying, and there, by a surprise, is a major star.
Well, you know, Andy and I go to so many in Rub
Elbow. Right.
We got to just go through our Rolodex.
I meet so many.
Yeah,
I was invited to Jenna Elfman's birthday party. It was off Sunset. It was at that restaurant. It's still there where you sit down and you eat with your fingers and that thing. So I go, and among...
Wait, what?
Like a tapas place?
I don't know. Aladdin. What is that? What kind of food would that...
Lebanese or...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that.
Okay,
yeah. That. So along with Lisa Marie Presley, and I couldn't take my eyes off her because that's Elvis's kid, along with several people like that were Tom Cruise and Cameron Crowe.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's star power.
That's pretty good.
Well, it's also Scientology.
Right.
Cameron Crowe? When somebody, I don't know about Cameron Crowe, but Tom was there to support Jenna.
Right. Gotcha. I'd have to say that my biggest celebrity encounter and my greatest celebrity encounter was probably Eddie Murphy.
Oh, good one.
Funny man, and was such an honor to meet him and hang out with him and just watch him tell jokes and be crazy. It was awesome.
I built a fire once with Daryl Hannah
Clan of the Cave Bear.
Yeah.
You know, that's so interesting. I don't even want to know the story because that alone says it all.
In
I
fact,
just love that.
I'd like that to be the name of your autobiography.
Andy's capsule is about 25 minutes away. We'll do some business and get on back in here. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. And we head to the phones. Ralph is calling from Porter Ranch. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning. How you doing, Mark? Love your show. Good to have you back.
Thank you, man.
I was calling about 20 years ago. You played in a MSBL baseball league, and you were a catcher.
Yep.
And I don't remember. I had a game with you at Oak Park. I was a base up. You made a couple great throws. You had the guys beat, and the fielders kind of scoot up the play, didn't make a good tag. And after the second play, you yelled out to the infield, "What effing game are you looking at, Blue?"
Yeah, this what he's talking about. I've loved baseball since I was a kid. Played in high school for 4 years, and then you know just tried to stay like softball I played. But then I get out here to California. There is a men's over 30 baseball league. Fantastic talent. Some of the guys came from college, most of them high school, and that's what he's talking about. And I would take no crap from refs. They're not looking. I mean, the guy was clearly out, and he calls him safe, and I got pissed.
Yes, you did. Yeah, but the good news is I didn't throw you out of the game. I kept you in, and the truth is there were only about three or four catchers in the whole league that could make throws like you, so I have to compliment you. You were a very good ball player.
That's very kind of you, Ralph, but that doesn't deny the fact that you refs, you people, you don't know the game. You don't understand what's happening. I wish you would just get out the rule book and read it for once, for God's sakes.
Wow. That's
No, Ralph, I'm kidding. You know, we would all come out there. We'd pay $500 a year to play in the league, and Ralph and these guys would come out. We were just all having fun. It wasn't about the competition. It was just about enjoying your afternoon. So, Ralph, a good memory. I thank you for that, and thank you for listening.
My pleasure, and I'll keep on listening. You guys are really good.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot.
A little bitty announcement is going to come your way when we get back in here. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is 100.3 The Sound. From the 19th floor on Wilshire Boulevard in a high rise, we can see for miles the Who. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Now, before we get to, by the way, we do have a pretty exciting thing to share with you. We'll do that shortly after 7, but I've got a minor little bitty announcement to make. So, on the podcast that I do with my wife, I get a little more soapboxy on there than I do here. And I've told listeners, I said, look, there are two dates that are definite in your life. There's the day that you were born, which has already happened, and then there's the day you're going to die. And everything in between there is up to you. If there's something that you want to do and you're not doing it, why not? Just do it. You're going to be dead soon. Do it. And one of our listeners is the casting director for The Bold and the Beautiful, this soap opera. She and her partner have been wanting to make a movie forever. She heard me say that, and then she did it. They made their movie, and it was accepted to Sundance. So I guess in appreciation, she reaches out, and she sent me an email, and she said, look, I've got a small part on The Bold and the Beautiful. Do you think Katie would like to come in and read for it? So Katie did. And she not only, it was only for one line, but Katie got 3 or 4 lines. And they've already done it. And so that show is going to air tomorrow on The Bold and the Beautiful, 12:30 it airs here in California.
Awesome.
12:30. And then Katie's going to be in tomorrow to talk about it. And then on Friday after that show, my buddy, one of the A-list directors, Brad Silberling, is going to come in and critique Katie's work.
Fantastic. And while he's here, can we have her look at Gina's musical work?
Oh, yeah, my body of work. Thank you.
So set your DVRs, 12:30, The Bold and the Beautiful, Chick on the Street. It's my evil plan to have her take over the world. And so now, if you are doing TV shows or movies and you would like Katie in it, give me a buzz. Let me know. We'll get her down there and put her in your film. It's just the evil plan, and it's coming together.
Yeah, all that party I look so. All that party I look so.
Well, today, Alaska becomes the third state to legalize smoking of the ganj, of the weed, for recreational use. Starting today, Alaskans over the age of 21 will be permitted to smoke pot in private places only and are allowed to grow up to 6 plants. However, it is still illegal to smoke it in public, and doing so will result in a $100 fine.
Oh, is that yeah. The big fine?
Yeah.
And no offense intended to anyone in Alaska, but don't you feel like if you live in Alaska, that's the least they can offer you?
Yeah.
Is let you smoke a little weed.
You don't have to pay taxes there, do you?
Oh.
Isn't that right?
I don't know.
I'm maybe speaking totally off my rocker, but I don't think you have to pay state income tax in Alaska. And it's not because they feel sorry for you. It's because of the income from oil.
So they got that covered.
Jordan assists me. Jordan, do they pay taxes in Alaska?
Yeah.
Sorry, Andy, they do.
They pay federal tax, but I thought they didn't pay state income tax.
The citizens in Alaska, they get a lot of money from all the oil that's going on up there.
So it looks like.
So everybody's right.
They get a check from the state.
They actually get money back.
Wow.
So.
Wow. So they're rolling in dough, and they're just high as kites. Why aren't we there?
We need someone calling in from Alaska is what we need to get the straight story here.
I've never been. I would like to go. I have heard it's beautiful and great, and it is the drunkest state around. These people, I mean, if you live in Alaska, what are you going to do?
Right.
You just get drunk.
Right. You know, you say you want to go, and I'm sure it is breathtaking to go into the, you know, into the Kodiak, into the wonderful reserves that they have there. But I can think of about 5,000 places I'd rather go.
But you've not been, so you don't know that.
Yeah, but I'm saying where I would rather go. I'm not saying once I went, I wouldn't just completely love it, but I would have impetus to go many other places before I go there.
Mine would be Italy.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Never been. Want to go. Want to go spend like 2 weeks. I want to throw whatever diet out. I want to start drinking at 6 in the morning with that wine and eating all that great food. I want to go to Italy.
What's keeping you?
You're right. I should listen to my own advice. No, we were. Okay, I'll be honest.
There are 2 days in your life that you, in between there.
Well, we were going to go last year. It was all set. We're taking the kids, boyfriends, girl. We're all going. Then the sound calls.
So it's my fault. Is that what you said?
So negotiations began. So we canceled the Italy because we thought it would get done pretty quickly. Took a frickin' year. We could have gone to Italy 18 times.
Maybe we should do a week of shows from Cinque Terre. Oh,
you are literally reading my mind right now. Cinque Terre is the most beautiful place on earth, and I think Andy's onto something.
Later today, we have a producer fella. He wants to call us up, and he has a bunch of pitch ideas, and he wants to run them by us.
Oh.
And then shortly, we'll be having a game of Name That Tune with my wife, Skeeter. Fun will ensue. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Mark in the Morning, Andy's got a couple of comments sent in by listeners. What do you say we rattle the cage on that?
I love these. This was on the Mark in the Morning fan page on Facebook. Rhonda Rivera said, way back in the day, my dad was a daily listener of Mark and Brian. I would hear him laughing away while getting ready for work in the morning. Never understood what was so funny. Now it's my turn, laughing all morning while my kids look at me like I need a straight jacket. Love the show.
Awesome.
I love that. Here's my favorite one, though. This is from James Rittenour. Just saw one of the billboards, and I'm WTF. I was a listener from day one, 28 years ago? I listened every day as I drove around SoCal for work. So now I'm retired. Do I have to go back to work since you went back to work?
Fair question.
That's a good question.
You know, and we're talking about Alaska. Do they pay state tax and all that? I don't even know why we had an issue because Sarah Palin has stepped into the room. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi. And look, I don't know why you guys are so curious about this. All I want is for more people to come join our beautiful state. Come hunting with me. We don't even lock the doors at the Palin house. You can just come right up to the gate and say, hello, Sarah. Let's go hunting.
Sarah, I ask this because I really do wonder, but you don't appear to me to be a woman who enjoys a good banging. Are you that type of individual?
Mark, I don't think that that falls in line with the family values that I try to put out to the public. But if it's just you and me and the mics are off, look, I like a good roll in the hay as much as the next guy. I'll tell you that right now.
That's hysterical.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
NBC's viewers are not missing Brian Williams. It's Nightly News with substitute anchor Lester Holt. Averaged a first place 10.1 million viewers last week.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Lester Holt
yeah.
is a piece of corrugated cardboard.
Yeah, I've never seen him. I don't know anything about him.
He introduces all of the datelines, and it's like watching paint dry.
Mm. Now, was Brian Williams number one prior to him?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Find out.
Yeah. But anyway, it's holding up pretty well.
Wow.
So maybe they're not in a big hurry to get Brian Williams back
probably
in.
Probably not.
Now, I was mentioning Katie's going to be on Bold and the Beautiful, and I mentioned the lady who listens to the program and called up. She's on the phone. I apparently misremembered a few things. So Christy's going to clean some of that up. Christy, good morning.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Really good. How are you?
Good. Hello, Andy and Gina.
Hello. Mark, yes, Mark misremembered something.
I know.
You can knock me over with a
really
feather.
It's really hard to imagine that. and Mark, I have to say, I would love for you to be my agent because the fact that you're telling people that the movie got into Sundance is really exciting. However, we do have the distinct honor of being turned down by Sundance. So we did not get into Sundance.
You should just let it go. I mean, that's a lie that doesn't need to be corrected. Let people think.
I know, but I just don't know if it could get us into trouble. Start telling people that we got into Sundance, and nice. All of a sudden I start getting phone calls from all my friends saying congratulations. The other thing that I've been getting phone calls from my friends since you've mentioned it a few times on the podcast and now here is that my partner and I, you make it sound like I've become lesbian. And not that I have anything against lesbians, but my friends are all wondering when I made the change.
I totally thought she was.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's my producing partner and I.
Well, see, here's what's weird. This is how times have changed. 10 years ago, when you said partner, you assumed business partner.
Right.
These days, you say partner, and all of a sudden you're
life.
Gay.
It's a life partner.
My life partner and I made a movie, but
well,
I have known her for 27 years, so it might seem like a life partner, but really she's not.
Well, I also want to tell you guys what Christy did. When Katie went down to do the part on Bold and the Beautiful, she's an extra. She had a couple of lines, but when you have a small part like that, you don't even get a chair. You know, you just sit in your car until it's
right.
time. Well, Christy gave Katie a dressing room, her own parking spot with her name on
wow.
it, and then a gold star on her door with Katie
talking. That's cool.
It.
Very cool.
She got the special B&B VIP treatment.
That's
well,
awesome.
Christy, we promoted it. We're going to look forward to seeing that.
You.
And then I think you heard Brad Silberling's going to come in and critique
that's
her work.
That's really exciting. And I just have to say, I'm really excited to have the honor to be the first person to cast Katie on television because I know from this point on, she's going to be getting call after call after call because she just really is quite special. And they did give her a couple extra lines, just so you know.
And that doesn't happen very often. That's pretty
no.
cool.
No, and she's just really sweet.
Christy, I got to ask you, is there going to be a part coming up for, I don't know, say, a huge LA radio DJ that accidentally gets somebody pregnant, like one of the main stars on the show?
You know, I've been making notes on that, and I am going to ask the producers
Great.
And the writers about that if they could maybe work that in.
Perfect.
Well, Christy, listen, you have changed my daughter's life. She had such a great time down there, and I can't wait to see her work.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, too. I haven't seen it yet. I just watched her tape it, and she was wonderful, so I'm sure it will be great.
Hey, Christy, before we go to the capsule with Andy, with a lot of actors listening in, because going into an audition is one of the worst experiences because you walk in and there's 10 people and there's a little video camera. You're the casting agent for Bold and the Beautiful. Just a couple of quick bits of advice for actors who are going to go into that room from you.
Well, unlike a lot of offices, I do not use a camera in my office. I read with the actors one-on-one, and I ask them to use their space. I don't like them to sit in a chair. I want their energy up and moving. So, you know, to me, it's just coming in and owning it. So many people come in and they just, especially if you're reading for like a series regular contract role, they come in and they just want to play that middle of the road. But to have you come in and own the scene and make it your own and show us who you are as an actor and not give away your power all the time. You know, they're always looking to please, but that means you're trying to be something you may not be. So just to really use yourself and be who you are. And I think that's what makes Katie so natural, that she just is. She just is who she is. And she's not trying to be anything else. And that's the best thing you can do.
Mm-hmm. There it is. Advice from a casting director. Take that to heart. That's good stuff right there. And the mistake that I used to make when I would go in is I would shake every hand.
Mm-hmm.
Do not touch. Don't,
many of them are not touchers. Are you, are you a toucher?
Well, sometimes. But I say, the reason why I say not is that it's not that we don't want to touch you, or that we're, it's just that, you know, after you've shaken 50 hands in a day and it's cold and flu, I've had actors come in and cough and then reach out their hand and shake my hand. And I'm like, are you serious? Well, so it's just because of that.
And, you know, Christy, that advice doesn't seem like it's just for actors. That was really great life advice.
Well,
you know, just be
and,
who you
know,
are, own your
being
space.
Being an actor is such a, I mean, you're putting yourself out there all the time. So do you want to put yourself out there truly or not? Yeah. It's just, I mean, you're right. It's that in every walk of life.
Christy, now here's what I want. When you and your partner, when your movie is in a position to be consumed by the public, you're going to let me know so we can fully talk about it, promote it. If you've got a screening going, we want to know about that. Please keep us posted on that, Christy.
I absolutely will. It's in getting into final lockdown right now. We've just done a couple more edits, and then it's going to be done forever.
Can't wait. Looking forward to seeing what you did.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you, guys.
All right. Nice to talk to you.
Okay. Let's jump into Andy's classic rock time capsule.
Hey!
It's time to open Andy's classic rock time capsule.
It's open! The classic rock time capsule for Wednesday, February 25th, 2015. Let's start off with a quiz, Mark and Gina. On this date in history, Van Halen have the only number one single of their career. What is it? Jamie's Crying, Jump, Panama, When It's Love, or Right Now? Think about it. We'll have the answer soon. Today in 1972, Paul McCartney releases his first single with the band Wings. Any idea what that is?
Yeah, not my favorite.
Give Ireland Back to the Irish. Yeah, it's Wings' first single. A song in response to the Bloody Sunday in Northern Ireland a few weeks before reaches number one in Ireland, of course. And even though it's banned by the BBC for being political, it cracks the top 20 in Britain. Heck, it even reaches number 21 on the Billboard chart here in America.
This is The Studio. A great, great song. Personal favorite.
American Psycho. Love it. Well, this day in 1986, the Grammys go down in L.A. at the Shrine Theater. I find them to be a great time capsule in their own right of what music sounded like in a given year. Album of the Year, Phil Collins, No Jacket Required. Don Henley takes home the Best Rock Vocal Performance for Boys of Summer and Money for Nothing by Dire Straits wins the award for Best Rock Performance by a Duo or Group with Vocal. A quiz answer, Mark and Gina, what's Van Halen's only number one?
Read them again, please.
It was Jamie's Crying, Jump, Panama, When It's Love, or Right Now.
I'm going Panama.
All right, see, I was going to go Panama, but when you want to hit number one, give them a ballad.
Mm.
What is This Love?
That's where I'm going. When It's Love? No,
I'm
the
going
answer
there.
Is Jump.
Oh.
Yeah, and a couple of things to talk about this song. First, Eddie Van Halen says it's the best guitar solo he never recorded because they Frankenstein together two different takes of the solo for the final version. Also, Eddie admits to stealing the keyboard riff. Okay, so here it is. Okay. He admits to stealing it from Hall and Oates.
What?
It's the intro to Kiss on My List, right? Now, I'm going to lay them down side by side for you. Roughly. Now, Daryl Hall says it's cool with him, probably because they really don't sound the slightest bit alike.
But it makes for one hit, huge super hit.
Nice story.
I guess
birthday
Eddie
today.
Misborrowed.
Yeah. A birthday today for George Harrison would have been 72, although he said in later years that he actually got the date wrong. It would have been yesterday, but we celebrate it today. And, you know, George worked on a lot of his birthdays. His 21st birthday, he's in the studio recording Can't Buy Me Love. On his 26th, he's in the studio recording a little something called Something. And we're going to give him a chance to sing one more time on his birthday. It's Mark in the Morning. You're listening to the Classic Rock Time Capsule on 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's Classic Rock.
Nice. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Let's run to Dennis. He's calling from Huntington Beach. Good morning, Dennis.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call. I know I'm just a C-lister, but I appreciate you putting one of Jackie's minions on the air.
Nice. Thank you.
So, hey, got a special tribute to you here, Mark, to welcome you back. Hmm. Pulled in the gang from Oz, and they have a little song for you. All right. We represent the lollipop queue,
wow.
And we work on this La La Land.
Nice.
You know you're on the air, right, Dennis?
Timbers, those lollipop kids can sing. Anybody seen Olives?
Dennis, listen, thank you so much for the kind words, and thank you for listening. Andy and Gina particularly appreciate it.
Good. Yes. Thank you very much. And
Mark, I'm surprised you haven't called me. I'm a celebrity, and I've got my ears on listening to the sound.
Mickey.
It's getting weird in here, isn't it?
the previous was not solicited by the sound, and it's not a celebrity endorsement.
Well, Dennis, listen, thank you again for the call, and thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks. Take care.
When we come back, we've got just a little bit of an announcement, a little bit of information we'd like to share because we're proud as a group of people. That's coming up next. This is 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's Classic Rock.
Doodly, 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 doodly. That's good doodly, doodly right there. Doodly, 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 doodly. I want to do a show of just all doodly. Can we do that?
You sound like Ned Flanders, by the way, when you say that.
That's a doodly, doodly, neighbor.
Okay, well, Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. We have been anxiously kind of awaiting to see what you people were thinking about the program. And we found out yesterday, and one of the reasons that I like to do this is I want you to remember who you are. Because it's you, and I'm talking to you, the listener. It is you that were on the ground floor of what it is that we're trying to do here. And so one of the reasons that I specifically wanted to share this is you are now going to become family. You are going to become a part of what we hope to become. And so we got some ratings back yesterday. Now, being in radio for 45 years and you guys forever, we know that you take ratings with a grain of salt. You can't celebrate the big ones, and you can't really get too depressed about the bad ones. But our first week that we were on the air, the ratings for 3 days of that week yeah. have come in. And so I'm going to share this. This is an email from Dave Biesing that I'll now share. He says, this is just a weekly trend. It's not a book, and it doesn't even reflect a full week of Mark in the Morning. It's just 3 days. But they were big days. Here we are. In the group of all listeners, every category, every demographic, all listeners, Mark in the Morning for those 3 days was the sixth rated morning show in L.A.
All right. Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Among 25 to 54-year-old persons, men and women, which, by the way, that's where we live, that right. demographic, we were the fifth rated morning show in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. First 3 days.
In the place where we really live, 25 to 54-year-old men, Mark in the Morning was third.
Ooh. Wow.
So this awesome. This is a strong indicator, and we certainly hope that we're going to build from that, but I specifically wanted you, family, to know what those numbers were, and all we really care about is entertaining, having a fun time in here. Obviously, this is a company. This is a business. Ratings mean money, and that's all good. But how great is it that we can get up and come in here and have a good time every day?
Oh, yeah.
We are blessed.
You know,
Gina had one of those heart-to-heart moments. She was driving home, and yeah. she just wrote one of those teary-eyed emails to all of us how great she's loving it here.
Yeah, I sure did. And I did blame it on I blamed it possibly on the moon cycle. Let's call it. But just the fact that we all found each other and we get to do this, we're the luckiest people on earth.
Yeah,
you know, I was thinking too about several people, pretty much everybody that's called in, has mentioned the talent joke.
Right.
Do you realize that was the first 5 minutes of the first day?
Yeah, that you sealed your own fate.
That I totally stepped in it. But those were people that were around for the first minutes of it.
And
every time I hear it, it makes me smile because I know those were people that were listening when all of us had that broadcast news flop sweat going.
Like, you're in the headlights. What are we doing?
What's that button do? What's that blue thing?
We've made a terrible mistake.
Well, I want you to remember, Andy, when you're 60 and you're in a Vons and you're grocery shopping and somebody yells out, "Hey, talent."
Yeah.
You did it.
I asked for it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ken. He's calling from Austin, Texas. Good morning, Ken.
What is up, guys?
What up?
Hi.
How you doing?
Hey, listen, first of all, Andy, you have told the story twice now, too, so we need to get you on that.
Oh,
so you'll
Uncle
know
Andy.
For a while.
Which story?
The story about taking the picture of the TV with the Beatles.
All right.
Got you.
It was the date. It was the dog.
So secondly, Mark, there's somebody on your show that's way better at something than you.
What's
and it's
that?
Gina. Brother, you got to stop complaining about, you know, bringing people to the show. One way I think you can really help your show, you personally, dude, get on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Get on the freaking Twitter, bro.
Aren't we going to devote some break at some point to me teaching you how to do Twitter?
Yes.
Please.
Look, here's the thing. Chris, who and Sam, who work here in the building, and Gina, along with my assistant, Jordan, there are meetings being held about how to get Mark to tweet. And I'm going to do it. I have to go through several seminars, but I'm going to get this done.
You know, the first step we got to do is get you off that old school jitterbug phone for the elderly and
get
you back on a smartphone. Yeah.
Get
him off the phone where he can only call home and 911.
Right.
Hey, Ken, listen, we have to take a break, man, but I really appreciate you listening all the way in Texas. And so call again sometime.
I will. Take it easy, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
See you soon.
Bye.
We've got a producer who's going to pitch us some movies, and we've got Name That Tune with Skeeter. It's all this hour on Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. 100.3 The Sound, Mark in the Morning. Good to have you. We've got Name That Tune with Skeeter coming up in about 30 minutes. But now, we all witnessed the Academy Awards. And you know that when a movie wins an Oscar, it's a hit, and there's probably going to be a sequel. Well, this guy reached out. He is a producer, and he has some pitches that he wants to share with us. His name is Bernie Feingood. Bernie, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mark. And let me just say, Mark in the Morning 2, Rock of Fire. I'm already thinking about the sequel to your show, see, because I'm the sequelizer.
Right.
I put the equal in sequel because I'm an artificial sweetener of ideas.
Nice. Now, so, Bernie, you're going to run by us some of your pitches, and we're going to give you an opinion on some of those.
That sounds great, Mark.
All right.
Well, look. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that was it. I'm looking forward to hearing your pitches.
Me too. Mark, I know we only have 3 minutes for this bit, so I'll keep it snappy. Ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
Fasten your seatbelts. Put on your airbag. All right. Here we go. Mark, everybody loves a sniper. So put on some Kevlar and get ready for American Sniper 2, Shoot Happens.
Oh.
Although dead, Navy SEAL sniper Chris Kyle is still a better shot than any living soldier. He infiltrates Taliban headquarters posing as a door-to-door Quran salesman, which backfires when he's caught reading the book upside down.
Bummer.
Hijinks ensues.
Yeah.
Bang, boom, zoom. What kills more than music? Les Miserables 2, pardon my French. Marius and Cosette discover that their love for each other is only surpassed by their need to steal silverware. They're happy in jail because the food in a French prison is ooh-la-la delicious.
Mm.
They stage a revolution on one condition. No one is allowed to sing. Now who's Miss Robler? Not me. Because of Shawshank Redemption 2, Electric Boogaloo. When Red and Andy open a disco in Zihuatanejo, they are arrested for putting in an unlicensed mechanical bull that throws a patron 50 feet during the song Night Fever. No brainer. See you at the premiere.
No brainer.
No brainer.
I continue to always know what you did last summer. While running a fish stand in Cancun, Ben Willis decides hook up with a new lady on Tinder. I'm so excited I can't stand it. And as he attempts to swipe his phone with his hook, he's bludgeoned to death by 14 vacationing teenagers who've been forced to sit through all three I Know What You Did Last Summer movies.
Wow.
I don't know what the hell I did yesterday, but I know what I'm doing this summer. I will see you at the premiere. Mark, will you excuse me just a minute?
Sure.
Hello? I'm on radio. It's live. Listen, there's a lot of talk here, and it's getting very boring. Hello? Lock it up. Very boring. Thank you. Doesn't know from live. New assistant. Here we go. Some like it hotter. Baristas at two rival coffee stores, Starbucks and the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, fall in love. Mm. But their love is put to the test when the companies go head-to-head in a turf war over the new Fudgechino. That's right, Fudgechino. Nothing wrong with your hearing.
Nothing.
All right. Say hello to Benjamin Button 2, the old Rush. On his 75th birthday, Benjamin wears a size 1 pair of pants. That doesn't stop him from falling for an elderly woman next door who becomes his great-granddaughter and his teenage girlfriend.
Wow.
Just like The Notebook, but less preachy. Here we go.
All two words.
Citizen. Kong. The great ape King Kong becomes an American citizen, then settles into suburbia after marrying Lindsay Lohan. They all have three children together, all of whom go into dentistry. Bang!
I like the button. Bang!
Yeah.
Here comes a classic. This is classic with Ben-Him, now Ben-Her. Bruce Jenner decides to transition into someone who's interesting and has a point. So he decides to establish an underground chariot racing club in Cleveland. Boom! Here comes this is a great one. I love this one. Forrest Grumpy. It stars Alec Baldwin. No script needed. Zoom! go ahead.
Give us the Magic Mike 2, Bernie.
I love Magic Mike 2. It's one of my favorites. Magic Mike 2, Magician Mike. Unable to strip after gaining 100 pounds, Mike goes on the children's birthday magician circuit, and his final trick always involves tearaway pants and a live dove. And this is really what it sounds like when doves cry. Good morning!
Good morning. Well, listen, Bernie, that was fantastic. I can't speak for the room, but I didn't really like any of them.
Yeah.
So I think you need to go back to the drawing board and see what you can come up with.
I'm doing it now. If my girl would just get her head out of the toilet and stop talking, it's very boring.
Now, I do want to break the fourth wall and tell you the genesis of this. This guy that just did this is Ed Krasnick. He's our writer. Ed came up with the idea and he wrote it. So then I threw a few of the pitches in and then I sent it out to Andy and Gina and they started throwing them in. So then we had a script with 50 pitches in it. And so then I sent it to Kevin Pollak to edit it down to the pitches that were just used. So six people had their finger on this script.
If you'll excuse the disgusting imagery.
Yeah. Now, but I learned something very, very important from this producer. If ever I want to sell anything, it doesn't matter what it is, I say what I got to say, I take a pause, and I go, boom! Boom!
You know that, Gina, I have to tell you, I've seen people really do that.
That's awful and amazing.
My favorite thing is, I'll see you at the premiere. He knows it's going to happen.
That's a guy who is so confident. It is already on the screen, and he's lining up his tux for the Oscars.
Let me ask you this, Ed.
Yeah.
Did that pitch sell?
All of these pitches are in development.
That just takes a zoom.
In my mind.
Bingo. So now, listen, Ed is a working actor, a working comedian, a working writer. His website and his contact information are on markinthemorning.com. Ed will really kind of do anything, you know, voices, write. He'll do your laundry. So contact him, and let's make sure he gets the mortgage paid. Ed, hysterical stuff this morning, brother.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Good to hear you guys, Andy and Gina. See you soon.
Bye. Take care, Ed. Talk to you soon.
We're 20 minutes away.
Bingo!
We're 20 minutes away from Name That Tune with Skeeter. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Let's find out what's trending. Here is Gina.
Federal investigators are saying that the abandoned pickup truck that drove onto some California Metrolink tracks yesterday and caused a serious crash was not stuck on the tracks, as earlier assumed. With so many people trying to get their rideshare business off the ground, one enterprising young man has launched Driving is a Drag. It's piloted by drag queen Erica Simone, the alter ego of 38-year-old L.A. native Eric Coral. And just full disclosure, I got to tell you, he's a friend of mine. I'm very excited that he's getting all this write-up. And here's what's trending in sports. The Inglewood City Council approved plans to build a football stadium in partnership with the St. Louis Rams owner, clearing a path for the NFL's return to L.A. for the first time in two decades. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online on Mark in the Morning.
Okay, so now, Gina, you were talking about something about cops and Roadhouse. What is
this? Yes, this is actually happening, even though it sounds like something from The Onion, a satire paper. The NYPD has turned to Patrick Swayze to teach city cops how to behave. Police bosses are using a scene from the 1989 flick Roadhouse as part of a mandatory three-day training course for 22,000 cops.
Wow.
And in the scene, Swayze, who plays, you know, a tough guy bouncer, he plays Dalton. He teaches his goons at the bar, the double deuce, how to handle unruly customers, and we have a clip of that.
But a lot of the guys who come in here, we can't handle one-on-one. I've been two-on-one.
Don't worry about it. All you have to do is follow three simple rules. One, never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected. Two, take it outside. Never start anything inside the bar unless it's absolutely necessary. And three, be nice.
Yeah.
Be nice.
I have never seen that movie, but I saw a clip of it. It must be awful.
No.
Now, I know guys love it.
You know
it's
what?
It's so bad it's good.
It is. It's a guilty pleasure.
It's like the male like the male showgirls. You just can't stop watching it.
Yeah.
And of course the cops that are being inundated with clips from Roadhouse think it's absolutely ridiculous. They said, how could they be showing us something from a movie? This is real life. That's Hollywood. This is insane. But it's not bad advice.
Yeah.
Here's what we have to do. We have to get a 35mm print of this film. Uh-huh. We're going to rent a movie theater. We're going to give tickets away, and we're going to all sit down and watch Roadhouse together.
Yes, I love everything I'm hearing.
Roadhouse is to bar fights as Urban Cowboy is to mechanical bulls.
Gotcha, gotcha. Now, see, now I'm online with you. I got what you're saying.
History. That happened, and we all let it happen.
Last night I said these words to my...
Please Please Me was the Beatles' first British number one and also their first single released by U.S. producer George Martin. He recalls that the song they recorded was very different from the one they initially brought to him.
It was a very mournful ballad. It was a kind of Roy Orbison draggy thing, but not as good as Roy Orbison. And I said, that's boring. And I actually said to them, now, if you double the speed of it, we might have something. Maybe put on the harmonica. And they went away and worked on it after Love Me Do. After we'd recorded How Do You Do It, which I'd given them from another writer, they said they had this version that had been changed according to my suggestion. Would I hear it? And that was how Please Please Me came to be recorded. And, of course, it was terrific. And I thought it was marvellous, and it was number one.
At the 23rd Annual Grammy Awards, Christopher Cross swept the major categories, winning Best New Artist, Record, Song of the Year for Sailing, and Album of the Year for his self-titled debut. Yeah. I was working in Birmingham at the time, and I was the music director and the rep for Warner Brothers. He calls me and he said, I have overnighted you an album. Don't listen to it at the radio station. Go home, smoke a joint, and put it on. And it was this album.
I wish I'd gotten that warning.
I don't think that it left my turntable for a year. And then I saw him live, one of the worst shows I've seen in my life.
Oh, no.
It was terrible. Absolutely terrible.
What happened to him? What's he doing
now? He's the original Yacht Rocker.
He's still doing it. It was on this day The Dallas Cowboys fired Tom Landry, the only head coach the team had had since its inception. And the all-star charity single We Are the World wins Grammys for Record of the Year, Song of the Year. And as Andy mentioned in the capsule, Phil Collins' No Jacket wins Album of the Year. Bobby Riggs passed away on this day in 1995. Pamela Anderson Lee had her husband Tommy Lee arrested on battery charges. It is Carrot Top's birthday. He is 48 years of age.
Wow.
Yeah. And on this day...
I don't like fighters who talk too much.
Well, Henry Cooper's nothing but a tramp. He's a bum. I'm the world's greatest. He must fall in 5 rounds, but if you talk about me, I'll cut it 3. I'll never fight another fella as tough as Doug Jones, not even that big, ugly bear, Sonny Liston.
Is he your next fight?
Well, after I annihilate this Henry Cooper, I want that bear.
And what's going to happen to him?
I want him bad.
What's going to happen to him?
He might be great, but he'll fall in 8.
It was on this day in 1964, Cassius Clay, then known, beat Sonny Liston for the World Heavyweight Boxing Championship. Who's your favorite boxer? He was, in my opinion, if you say, who is the greatest athlete of all time, it's Muhammad Ali. Because this guy, physically, I think the greatest boxer ever. But what I loved about him, and I was a kid at the time, he fully understood that boxing was entertainment. Mm-hmm. And so he was hysterical in front of the camera.
Charming.
He knew, yeah, he knew what television was. He embraced it. And pound for pound, he was hysterically entertaining. And he would predict the round that he was going to beat a guy, and then he would go in the ring and do it.
It's right. Like Babe Ruth calling his shot. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Who does
the
that?
Upper deck. Yeah, the synchronicity of him coming up against Howard Cosell in that time. I mean, they were a great foil for each other, and it just led to the mythology of Muhammad Ali.
Well, he single-handedly introduced an 8-year-old kid to heavyweight boxing. I didn't know anything about boxing, but I loved him.
Right. Wow. And name, how many sports icons can you name? You know, big sports personalities, sports heroes can you name before Muhammad Ali? A handful. You know,
yeah.
A handful.
Yeah, and we'll never have another like him because he was also a genuinely good dude, a nice guy, just fully embraced it and understood. All right, we are moments away from Name That Tune with Skeeter. We're going to lay out 4 classic rock staples. She loves music, but classic rock, she's not that knowledgeable. So we'll see how well she does. The game will be fully explained. But right now, here's Steely Dan on Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's classic rock. That's just not a good look, Andy. It's just not.
I don't think you're looking at the right thing.
100.3 The Sound. This is Mark in the Morning. And my wife of 32 years has joined us now. She's sitting here with us. Good morning, Skeeter.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Linda.
Good morning, Linda.
Now, here's the way. This is really a radio version of something that Linda and I have been doing forever. I'm a radio guy, so whenever we would travel into other cities, I would listen to the radio to see what the local radio sounded like in said city. And throughout our 32 years, a song would come on the radio, and I would say artist and title.
And most of the time, I would get it incorrect.
That's great. Now, Linda loves music, but she's into funk. She's into Parliament and Bruno Mars and that kind of stuff. Classic rock, not so much.
Not my strong suit, that's for sure.
Now, here's the game. This is Name That Tune with Skeeter. We have 4 songs that are lined up. Wait, I have music.
Oh, yeah.
It is now time for Name That Tune with Skeeter. 4 classic rock songs have been lined up. The first is No Brainer.
Oh, you say that now.
The second is Easy. Third is Medium. And the last one, Almost Impossible. Now, here's what's on the table. If you get 4 right, you get $400 to spend at Nordstrom.
Oh, wow. I am excited.
3 right is 300, 2 right, 200, and so forth.
Woo-hoo!
Now, you have 2 hints that you can use. You can pick either Andy or Gina to give you a hint.
Right. Okay.
And you have phone a friend. In this particular case, it's Skype a friend. Linda has chosen her son, Matthew. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
Now, so Matt can literally answer the question for you if you empower him to do that.
Okay, but how many times how many times does she get that lifeline?
One time.
One time, okay.
So all two hints, Andy or Gina, and Skype a friend. Now, I real quickly, I want you to hear what Matt and his bass player buddy did. They went into Matt's drum lair, and they played along... your drum dungeon. And they played along with Rush's Tom Sawyer. Now, I'm going to get the video up on markinthemorning.com so you can all see it, because it's kind of fun to watch them. They put GoPros up and all that kind of stuff. All right. Are we ready?
Sort of.
I kind of want to recuse myself because I really want you to get that money. I don't want to be wrong.
Well, these are so... Now, again, Andy and Gina, only a hint.
Yeah, but how good can the hint be?
Hinty.
Well...
not a slam dunk, but give her a chance.
Yeah, I mean, don't give it to her, but help her.
Okay, so she has to get the artist and title?
Yes.
And don't say, you know, rhymes with Clark Cloffler.
All right, Skeeter, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Here is the no-brainer category. You can take all the time you need. When you have your answer, artist and title, then say it.
Well, it's AC/DC.
You are correct so far. Are you waiting for the title?
I am.
Just stand by. It's Linda, this is no-brainer. The rest of them get harder.
Oh, gosh, I'm in trouble.
No, you're not. Just keep listening. Are you listening?
I'm going to say Dirty Deeds. No?
Well, yes. Okay, it's Dirty Deeds
Done. Dirt Cheap.
Okay, good. All right, that is 1 point.
My hint was going to be, it's something that's done at a bargain price.
Now, don't forget, you've got two hints that you can use.
Okay.
And Skype with your friend Matthew.
Well, I didn't want to use them on the easy one.
Good idea.
Now, you've now got $100 for a trip to Nordstrom.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
We now move to the easy category. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm trying to read her face.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine.
I know it's Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan is correct.
Then you.
You're not helping.
People call, say, beware, doll, you're bound to fall. You thought they were all kidding you.
Okay, I'm going to have to ask a friend for the title.
Well, you want to use a hint, or do you want to...
I want a hint, and I want a hint from Gina.
Ooh. When they say, I don't want to use the word in the hint, when a moss goes down the hill, it's
a Rolling Stone!
Yeah!
All right, so what's the name of the song?
It's a simile.
How does it feel?
Like a Rolling Stone?
That is correct.
Oh,
wow.
Hey, remember, Linda, no cussing.
I didn't cuss.
Yeah, that was close.
Yeah, it was, but I didn't do it. Andy, I hope you got your hand on that button.
Andy,
Matt, you're still with us, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. I'm saving Matt, too. See, now it's the hard
I don't know
ones.
How long you should save me for. I wasn't alive for most of this.
There's only two more. You still have both hints on the table, and you've got Skype with your son. Here now is... medium difficulty.
Carry on my wayward son.
Oh, man. And you know why this is difficult for me.
That's why I picked it.
Because it could either be Boston or it can be Kansas, because they sound so much alike.
Now, you've got two hints that you're not using, and you've got Skype with your son.
Okay, Matt?
Yes.
Do you know anything about this?
Yes.
Oh! Okay.
Now, Matt cannot answer for you, but
yes,
he can.
Yes, I can.
Well, wait. You can suggest to her, but the answer has to come from her.
Okay.
Now, you can give artist and title to your mother.
Mother?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it's Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas.
What is your answer, Skeeter?
Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas.
You have $300 for Nordstrom.
I'm starting to sweat.
Well, you've done really well. Okay, so now you're at your last song.
This is a lot of pressure.
Yep, I saved Andy for last. For a reason.
I don't like your strategy.
I don't like this.
Here we go. Artist and title is needed for the difficult song of the game.
Oh, man.
Oh.
This is once again, I don't know. It's either The Who or Led Zeppelin. So
awesome.
Now, here's the challenge. You're obviously going to have to use your hint.
I am.
And Andy is going to have to try to find a way to give you a hint on this title.
He's writing
something down.
And he's bright red. All right,
now,
sweat everywhere.
So you've got to come up with artist and title to sweep this game and get $400 at Nordstrom.
Okay, so I'm going with Andy. He's got to help me out here.
Okay.
I can't wait.
It is What a Sheep Says Twice, plus from MASH.
She doesn't know MASH.
Corporal Radar's last name. What a Sheep Says Twice.
That's a really good hint.
Plus Gary Bergdorf's character, Corporal Radar, his last name.
Okay, wait.
What a Sheep Says
Twice. Baba O'Reilly.
Yes! Yes!
All right, wait.
So I know who it is now because you went to see him and you were screaming the wrong name at him. The Who.
That is correct.
Woo! Yeah! That feels so good.
Good effort,
thank you,
everybody.
Thank you, everyone that helped me.
Well, we'll obviously do this again. So now you get to go to Nordstrom, $400 shopping spree.
Okay, I'm leaving right now. Bye-bye.
Thanks for name that tune with Skeeter. Excellent job. And that was I specifically chose that knowing that it was going to come down and she would never get the title.
Right.
And I really was depending on you to not be able to get a hint for that.
Mark,
yeah.
Being able to take money out of your pocket
is
a wonderful joy for me. It's a vicarious joy for me.
Quite the incentive.
This was me. Two words that sheep say. Ba, 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 what? And then it hit me.
That was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. All right. Well, good job, Linda.
And thank you.
So, Matt, what is your day today? What are you doing?
Well, today I am rearranging the dungeon again. That's been an ongoing project for the last 3 days, mm-hmm. Which involves a lot of heavy lifting. And then teaching.
Oh, hey, by the way, and we're going to have it up on markinthemorning.com, but Matthew is a professional drum teacher. He teaches little kids and old guys. He can come to you.
Exclusively.
You can go to him.
Oh, that's so your son.
And hey, get this. When he comes here to see us, he gives Skype drum lessons. He sets up his drums in the living room and he Skypes drum. So that's really kind of where it's gone. He can do all that. So if any of you are ever interested in taking drum lessons, Matt, what do you charge for one lesson?
It's 50 for an hour, 35 for a half hour. Just go to thompsondrums.com and hit me up.
Awesome.
All right. Before we give everybody out, let me share this with you. A 20-year-old tourist from Georgia thought it would be fun to run with the bulls in Spain. Unfortunately, the bull caught him and made him pay. Benjamin Miller suffered life-threatening injuries after he was gored in his butt.
Good.
Aww.
Good.
The surgeon who operated on Miller said one wound, it measured 15 inches deep in his butt. He said it was the biggest goring wound I had ever seen.
Good, good for him. You get what you pay for.
Yeah. And that jump is out there, sure.
A special kind of stupid to corral animals and get them riled up and then turn them loose and think you're going to run in front of them. Good.
I feel the same way. And I'll up that. I think you might be saying this too because we're both from the Midwest. I feel that way about rodeos. I think they're not for me.
Yeah.
So whatever happens, happens.
Even zoos. I can't stand going to a zoo to see an animal. I'd much rather go, you know, somewhere and see a kangaroo out in a pasture somewhere in Australia than go to a zoo. What I don't understand most of all is when people fly to Sydney and then they go to a zoo to see a koala?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, they know their butt's going to be intact.
I guess. Lazy is what that is.
We have a UFC champion. Ronda Rousey is going to join us this hour. Remain where you are. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Yes.
I believe there's love in you. Gridlocked on the dusty avenue.
Jamie Dornan, or is it Dornan?
Dornan.
Dornan. Reportedly is going to try to get out of his contract for the remaining two 50 Shades of Grey films due to concerns with his wife.
Oh, my God. There are two more of those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
three
but the
books.
Concerns are fantastic.
Yeah, look, he is in an ironclad contract. This is crap. There's absolutely no way he's going to be able to get out of it, regardless of what his wife's concerns may or may not be. I think this is complete garbage.
But, you know, she said she had a problem watching him do these super hot and steamy love scenes. And, you know, because it's a sequel, it's got to be bigger, it's got to be hotter, it's got to be sexier. She said, no, you're not doing it.
Okay.
You better get a good. That was my whip sound.
It sounds manufactured by some PR person in Beverly Hills.
I don't know. I guess they just had a kid. She's not feeling, you know, like her old self, and she says, "I can't. I don't want to compete with that. You're not doing it."
Well, these things aren't black and white, you know. Mm. They're 50 shades of gray, Gina.
You're a horrible person.
I regretted that before I said it.
No. I was going to say you feel good about that one.
No.
Well, you know. Look, I don't think he can get out of it no matter what, but if he did, we could do it like Batman. Just stick in another dude.
Of course.
And maybe it'll refresh. Maybe they get a bigger name because I've never heard of Jamie Dornan.
I would rather see Michael Keaton in the role of Christian Grey than Jamie Dornan, but that's just me. He was a Batman, was he not?
Well, I can see that you and yoga will never do.
I told you. I'm going to find a way each day to get Elvis
every
on
day.
This program.
Yoga is as yoga does.
Well, Bikram Chowdhury?
Bikram,
thank you. The last name is anybody's guess. He is a famous yoga guru whose devoted following includes celebrities like Madonna and Jennifer Aniston.
This is the hot yoga, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hot yoga.
He is facing rape allegations from several women. According to the New York Times, six women have filed civil lawsuits against the 69-year-old founder of, how do you pronounce it?
Bikram,
accusing him of rape or sexual assault. The most recent lawsuit was filed last week, but others go back as far as 2 years. One 29-year-old accuser who claims that he sexually assaulted her in 2013 said, quote, "A lot of people have blinders on. This is their entire world. They don't want to accept that this has happened."
Well, you know, it seems almost like because he's a bit of a guru and, you know, and has quite a following, you know, they get this godlike, you know, ego and they think they can do whatever they want, including, you know, abusing other people.
Have you guys done the hot yoga?
I have. It's horrible. I'll never do it again.
I've never done it.
Very warm.
I can't do the room temperature yoga very well.
And then a new scientific study said that there are no added benefits to turning the room up to 107 degrees. So I'm going to stick with that.
I enjoy a good sweat, though. I got to be honest about that.
Mm. Like a steam bath?
I mean, it gets all that crap out. It just, you feel better after a good sweat. Now, you can exercise or you can just jump in the steam room. Either way, but get a good sweat is always nice.
If you have a man that has had discrimination suits that he's had to settle, that has made comments before, that you have people of the reputation of an Elgin Baylor saying he ran a plantation.
Reverend Al Sharpton was allegedly paid off to the tune of $3.8 million to stay quiet about the lack of black cable TV programming, according to a Blockbuster lawsuit. The National Association of African American-owned Media claims Comcast paid Sharpton and his National Action Network cash donations in exchange for his silence about a lack of black-owned TV channels. Besides cash, Sharpton was promised additional job security at his $750,000-a-year gig as host on MSNBC, even as ratings were tanking. Sharpton has dismissed the lawsuit, quote, as frivolous at best, and admits to having received some donations, but nowhere near $1 million.
I don't like it.
Frivolous at best doesn't sound like a total rebuke, does it? You know, I think that that is out of line. Well, that's not saying it's totally, you know, a lie. And
totally. And when you think something is so egregious, like there's not enough people of color on TV, and someone says, here's some money if you shut up about it, you'd think they say, I don't want your money. I want to see, you know, my principles represented, not, all right, make the check out to Al Sharpton, but still I'd like to see those people on TV.
And for the record, if there's anybody listening that needs someone to be quiet about something, I'm your dude.
You can pay for Andy's loyalty, is what I'm saying.
Whatever it is, you can tell me a secret and send me some cash, and I won't tell anybody about it.
I think what Andy is saying is something that I think we all feel pretty strongly about. We here at Mark in the Morning will accept payola. We are not going to haggle about it. We will accept it and embrace us know.
No.
Why are you going to? You're making us have to do another training video.
No. Oh, we have to write those papers out every year. I think Sharon is looking through the window right now, our HR manager.
You're writing ours this time.
Oh, no. No. It's not worth it. The any joke is not worth that.
Gotcha. It was pretty good, though. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Okay, Ronda Rousey just around the corner. And when we come back, something you ladies, you don't want to hear. This is Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound. Nice. Now, ladies, here's something that you probably don't want to even think about. A Florida woman isn't smiling after she ended up on candid camera thanks to an intruder who broke into her house, took a photograph of her in the shower, and then posted it on the internet. The victim says she was lathered up when she heard a noise and was startled by a stranger holding her cell phone, snapping photographs of her completely naked in the shower. Before she could react, the man bolted from the scene with the phone. She used her landline to summon cops who began taking her statement, then found the suspect had posted the victim's X-rated shots on her Facebook page. Cops have had their eye on a man fitting the same description who had been roaming the neighborhood, peeping into bathroom windows and pleasuring himself.
What a scumbag.
Wow. This is Florida, right?
Florida.
Yeah. Where else would it be?
It's, again, Florida? It's the part of this country where all that stuff happens. I love you, Antelope Valley, but did you ever notice when someone's boa constrictor eats someone else's chihuahua? Right. It's always in Lancaster or
Palmdale.
Further
inland, yeah.
Yeah, it's somewhere up there. Florida is the nation's location for all of that kind of stuff.
The nation's Antelope Valley? That's terrible.
I love you, Antelope Valley.
Well, remind me to get into my Florida stories, because even though I hear what you're saying, some of the greatest moments in my life happened in that state. So we'll get into some of those. But right now, we have the best-selling artists of 2014, number 10 to number 1. I'll start you off, and then you guys can guess if you'd like. Number 10. Beyoncé.
It's a good dance.
Huh?
That's good dance on your part.
Mark is saying, if you liked it, Andy, you should have put a ring on it.
Oh, I see.
All right, so Beyonce, the number 10 best-selling artist of last year. Any guesses?
Beyonce?
Yeah. across all genres?
Pretty much.
Because I know country music is a pretty big sell when it comes to a live show. How about Kenny Chesney?
Not here.
I'll say...
Oh, I got a guess.
I'll say Taylor Swift.
I think she'd be higher on the list, wouldn't she? Huh. You
number
did it.
One.
Oh, yeah.
I like to go straight for number one.
Got nothing in my brain. That's what people say. Mm-hmm. That's what people say. Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
Number nine.
Katy Perry.
Number eight.
Sam Smith.
Yeah, this boy.
Blowing up.
Ugh, so good. Now here's Funky. Check this out.
Guess it's true. I'm
you wouldn't think this. Number seven.
Pink
still
Floyd.
Selling like gangbusters.
Wow. This is the Pink Floyd is the number seven grossing artist.
Correct.
Of last year.
Correct.
That is awesome. Talk about creating great, great music.
Long-lasting, sustainable
that
music.
Sticks around for, yeah. What, 42 years now, this album?
It's crazy.
And it's poetry set to just amazing musicscapes.
My buddy Scott and I, this is in 1991, Pink Floyd was at the Rose Bowl. So we go, 90,000 people decked out to see Pink Floyd. And we're sitting there, and right next to Scott is this guy that is so freaking high. All he is, he's just smiling. Just sitting there smiling. And at one point in the show, they float the big pink pig down over the audience. My buddy Scott leans to me and says, that dude next to me thinks he's the only one that can see that.
Hey, Gina, do you want to be the one to tell him he's already told that story?
Oh, God.
I don't want to tell Uncle Bob.
Why did you let me finish it then? That's too good. All right, so I'll give you number six, and then we'll come finish him up. Number six. Still selling.
Still.
It is so hard for me to believe that this dude died in massive debt.
Yeah.
How he could make as much money as he made and then just blow through it.
Yeah. Trumpitis.
Whew. All right, so we'll finish up the other five. Plus, Ronda Rousey is just around the corner. She is a UFC fighting champion. We'll speak with her momentarily. Let me post the song. Here's Michael. We're back right after this. It's Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound.
And now, presenting the champion, fighting out of the red corner, a judo fighter. She stands 5'7" tall, weighing in at 135 pounds. Fighting out of Venice, California, presenting the reigning, defending, undisputed Women's USC Bantamweight Champion of the World, Rowdy Ronda Rousey!
That guy's great.
We welcome Ronda into the program. Good morning, Ronda.
Morning. How you doing?
Really good. Now, the last thing I'm going to do is piss you off, but I want you guys to hear this. Get this. She is 10-0, the only champion in women's bantamweight history. Get this. Only one of her fights has gone past the first round.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
She works out three times a day. And, Ronda, if I may, you were smoking freaking hot.
Thanks.
You must have a huge fan base. But now... let's go to the workout routines. And by the way, she's got a huge fight coming up. We'll get to that in a minute. You sometimes work out three times a day. Is that correct?
Yeah, but I usually can't. I keep it to two-ish, more likely. No.
Now, when you're working,
take a nap in the afternoon. Resting's important too.
When you're working out that much, can you pretty much eat whatever you want, or do you have to be really careful there?
Well, when I'm in training camp, I actually have, my food totally laid out. So, like, every single week I get a new menu of what I'm supposed to eat every day by, like, the hour. So it's,
wow.
Like, a science. We've broken it down. Yeah. So for the past, like, 6 weeks, everything that I eat is on a schedule.
Now, get this, guys. Check this out. Typical day, of training starts with coffee, followed by music and driving, followed by workout number one, which is usually either striking or strength and conditioning. Striking meaning you're hitting something?
Yeah.
Then more driving, lunch, nap, then workout number two, which could be anything from wrestling to grappling to swimming. Some days she'll add a third workout, but that usually depends on how I'm feeling on that particular day.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
My schedule speaks for itself.
It sounds like a great day. That's like better than a walk on the beach in the sunset.
Now, Rhonda, this fighter that you've got coming up, would you, her name is Zingano?
Mm-hmm. Kat Zingano.
Is she going to be a tough opponent? Is it one of your tougher fights, would you say?
Oh, definitely she's the toughest one. She's 9-0, and I'm 10-0. And I think she's finished all of her fights except for, like, her very first fight was a decision. And she's beat a lot of the same people that I've beat. And, yeah, she's definitely the toughest one. And she's a jiu-jitsu black belt. So I'm really known for arm-barring most people, but I've never gone to the ground with a jiu-jitsu black belt. And she's actually most well-known for her striking and Muay Thai, like elbows and knees, like cutting people up kind of thing. And so... yeah, she's definitely an extremely dangerous opponent, for sure.
Now, how long have you been badass?
Since day one. I was bored. I came out fighting.
Wow. So, I mean, did you, like in school, did you ever have fights with guys?
Yeah, actually, I did have a couple fights with boys. It's funny, when we went to school, when I was a little kid, my dad told us that his one word of advice was, if anyone hits you, hit him back. And what's it called? Actually, my sister Jennifer was the first one that really showed me a lesson in how to defend yourself. So we had this one kid in our class that was like, he was like, pick it on me. And my sister told my dad, and he was like, next time you see him, you hit him in the balls. And so he picked on me again. And then my sister went and punched him straight in the face. And the school, you know, called them and was like, said, you know, your daughter hit this kid, and Jennifer goes up to my dad and goes, I did exactly what you said, Daddy. He picked on Ronnie, and I hit him right in the eyeball.
That's great.
So then that's how I learned. I'm like, all right, that's what you do in that situation.
But I've got a quick two-part question, mm-hmm. if you don't mind, Rhonda, to Andy. Mm-hmm. You are 135, right?
Yes, sir.
Is it Mark? How much do you weigh?
180.
180, and he does P90X all the time. How long? Two part question. First part: how long do you think it would take you to take him completely down?
Take him down or finish him off?
finish him off.
Well. I won the finals of the Junior World Championships in 4 seconds, so I would say 4 seconds.
All right.
Top.
Part two of the question. Would you mind doing that?
I'm extremely expensive. I don't do that stuff for free anymore.
All right. That's
Rhonda, listen,
you get a couple million dollars, I'll take you out if you want.
Listen,
not to dinner.
I got to tell you, I have begun my love affair with you. You are fantastic. The fight is Saturday. That's this coming Saturday. It's at the Staples Center. Tickets are still available. So if you want to go, check it out. It is her versus Zingano. Now, I got to ask you, Rhonda, if you don't mind telling me, how old are you?
I just turned 28. Oh.
Wow. Now, are you married? Do you have a boyfriend?
No, I'm kind of married to my career at the moment right now.
Gotcha.
I go from fight to movie. It's just no time for a social life, pretty much.
Now, if we were going to date, you and I would. I don't even know why that's funny, Gina.
Sorry.
I would have to have you sign a piece of paper that you would never beat me up.
Well, then we would never start dating. Hey, can I take you out? Here's a contract. No, that's not
smart.
Sorry, not gonna work.
Rhonda, by the way, I just have to say, as a female, thank you for being a badass, an awesome athlete that girls and women and everyone can look up to. It's awesome.
Yeah, fight like a girl sounds entirely different when she says
coming
it,
out of Ronda Rousey's mouth.
my mom used to say, thank you. I appreciate that.
Rhonda, we know we've got to get on. You've got other shows to do, but we are fans. If you want to promote something, you let us know. We'll put you on to do it.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, all I'm promoting right now is the fight this Saturday. I think it's selling out pretty quick, so you might have better luck just buying the pay-per-view. But, yeah, thank you so much for having me on, guys.
We'll talk to you soon. UFC champion Ronda Rousey. Back right after this. It's Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. I sat here last night and I watched again the Kashmir live from the O2 Arena show. I can't stop watching it. It's just so good.
Yeah.
I mean, Robert Plant, first of all, they all sound great. But Robert Plant, even in the later years of his life, he's just still got it.
Yeah, well, the kind of singing that he did, yeah, he hit the high notes, but there was always so much power behind that voice that it's one of those things that he's lucky he's kept it all these years.
Let's go to Hugo. He is calling from Huntington Park. Hugo, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for picking up. I wanted to originally call and say my name is Hugo, and I'm a whore, and I'm not wearing any pants.
Awesome. Following in Mark's footsteps, I see. You know, I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'd almost like to give him something from Gina's booty box.
Why don't we get that done then?
All right, Hugo, the pantsless Hugo. What are you into? You like Boston? You like Jimmy Buffett, Steely Dan, Rock of Ages in Vegas? What are you into?
Vegas is a little far.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm going to have to go with Steely Dan, since I got some people that would love to see Steely Dan, believe it's Elvis Costello.
Very good. Steely Dan and Elvis Costello at the Hollywood Bowl. A pair of tickets to see them, July 13th. Tickets are on sale now, but you, Hugo, you're going for free, but I don't think they let you in without pants, so please don't forget.
Man, that was his booty, though. That was good.
Hey, Hugo, what do you do for a living?
I work at a place where we sell cell phones to people.
You sell cell phones?
Yes.
Do you work in the mall?
No.
Because the mall...
I work at a store.
The mall has become like the fair. Because you're walking down, and there's those cubicles, those little things in the middle. And hey, sir, can you come over here? Stop bothering me. I don't want to come over there. If I did, I'd come over there. It really has. It's gotten to be like the fair. Can't stand it.
That's a nice cell phone, sir, but I think I can get you another one that's better.
Mm. Hugo, could you get Mark out of the jitterbug and onto a real phone?
Yes, I can.
Perfect.
So, Hugo, you married, girlfriend, what?
Girlfriend.
How long has she been your girlfriend?
Putting me on the spot. Almost 7 years now.
Wow. Now, do you actually like her or you just feel stuck?
Oh, I love her. There's nothing I wouldn't do for her.
Yeah, how's the sex?
I haven't heard that word in a while.
It's because you haven't put a ring on it, Hugo.
Yeah. There's real sadness crept into his voice right
there. Yeah, now, Hugo, let's stop down right now. It's been your girlfriend for 7 years, honestly speaking, and she'll never know that it's you on the air broadcasting in front of a billion people. How long has it been since you had sex with your girlfriend?
There goes that word again. Well, it's been a while.
Are you glad you called?
Am I what?
Are you glad you called?
Yes, I am, because I've been in this country since 1989, and on and off, I've been listening to you for way too long, and you helped raise me.
Aww.
Well, Hugo, I'm not going to let this go. I want to know how long it's been since you and your girlfriend had sex, and why has it been a while? Or is it none of my business? Let's make it my business. How long has it been?
Little over a year. But
now,
the reasons make sense, which I'm not allowed to divulge. And I'm not going to fight these reasons because I love my girlfriend and I'm not going to argue with her. And she's always going to be right. And I can't wait to say I do.
Oh, man. Wow.
So she's waiting for marriage then? Is that it?
No, it's just proper... controllable moments have not been found.
Huh. Well, maybe after she goes to Steely Dan and Elvis Costello, things will be different.
She'll be more forthcoming. Yeah. Well, Hugo, my brother, Love everything about you. You are welcome to call in here anytime. I'm more than happy to be your radio parent, having taken a hand in raising you. I think you've grown up to be a fine young man. I think you're an idiot to go for a year without any sex. I don't know what you're saying about that. She's always right and I'm wrong. But we'll work on that next time you call.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to have to put my pants back on because I'm going to work.
Thanks, Hugo. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Aww, you too.
Sweetheart.
That's good, dude. A year, though.
Weird. Interesting.
Jesus. Okay, let's finish this up. What?
Andy's just making faces. There's so much he's not
You are
saying.
Such a busybody.
Yeah.
Andy, it's what I do.
Who
professional
who?
Busybody.
Who called who? Did Mark
exactly.
call him or did Hugo
listen,
call Mark?
Listen, you know what you're going to get when you call in here to me, so don't. I don't want to hear it. 888-696-1003 if somebody wants a verbal beating. All right, so here we go. The top five best-selling acts of 2014. You've already gotten Taylor Swift, and that's it. Taylor Swift is number one.
I'll throw out, because when did it come out? In 2013, that Robin Thicke song, Blurred Lines?
I think he's over.
I know, but yeah. I'm just saying as far as sales, I didn't know if that...
That
didn't go over into 2014?
No.
What about the very controversial Iggy Azalea? Rapper. Australian
rapper. And why is she controversial?
People don't think she's a very good rapper.
Well, I don't know about that. I kind of like her, but
she's like her too. I saw her live.
But she's the one trick. I mean, there's no way to make that different.
Right.
So I don't see how, and I'm already kind of over.
Mm.
Like, I don't want to hear it anymore.
Right.
I really dug.
You like Fancy.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, how about the Arby's hat, Pharrell Williams?
No.
How?
I will go down the route of a couple of breadcrumbs you've already left us. You said that Pink Floyd is in the top 10. You said mm-hmm. that Michael Jackson's in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to throw out the Eagles.
Not here.
All right.
Those of you that just tuned in, number 10 was Beyonce, 9 Katy Perry, 8 Sam Smith, 7 Pink Floyd, 6 Michael Jackson. We're looking at the top 5. Taylor Swift has already been revealed as number 1.
You know, I think I heard he was the top artist on Spotify for a long time. So what about Ed Sheeran?
When your legs don't work like they used to before.
Number 3.
Mm. Beautiful voice.
And I can't sweep you off of your feet.
And this is a gorgeous piece of music.
Will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheek?
Mm.
Darling, I will be loving you till we're 70.
If I could do this, I'd never leave the house.
Baby, my
so good. Number 3, let's go to Teresa. She's calling from L.A. Good morning, Teresa.
Hi, Mark. Mark, I just want to tell you, I'm a long-time listener of you. I can't tell you, there's no words that I can tell you how happy and thrilled I am that you're back on the air. To hear your voice is like heaven for me. That's the first thing I want to tell you, honestly. And I've won many tickets on your previous show. As a matter of fact, I got $10.99. I won so many.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. Yes. And I pulled the wool over your eyes a few times, too. But we won't go into that.
I like when women lie to me.
The reason I'm calling, Mark, is my husband and I are celebrating our 39th wedding anniversary next week.
Jesus.
And we've been together for over 40 years. We have sex at least once or twice, if possible, 3 times a week. So I don't know what's the matter with these people. I don't know what's wrong with these people. And when we were first dating, we probably had sex 4 times a day, you know?
Wow.
So what's
well,
going on?
So I think we clearly now know, Teresa, that you're a huge slut, but glad to have you on the program with us.
I have a slut with one man, though, so that's good.
Listen, honestly, let me say to you, all you ladies, if you're in a committed relationship, if you're married, it is so wonderful when you are a for your man.
Absolutely.
Gosh. My ears get hot wondering when to press that button.
Yeah.
No, Andy, there's nothing being said. Teresa here, she knows what I'm saying. She is taking care of her man. And I'm going to tell you right now, her husband is one of the happiest men that walk this earth. Am I wrong, Teresa?
You are so right. And what I want to tell young women is that get over yourself. And when you see your man happy and make him that happy, you are going to get so much back.
Oh, okay. You are the best.
Teresa, just for being today's life coach, I would love to give you something from Gina's booty box. How do you feel about that?
Oh, okay. I love that. Thank you.
I'm going to ask you, are you a Boston fan or a Buffett fan? You like Jimmy Buffett or you like Boston?
I like Boston.
All right. You're going to get a pair of tickets to see Boston at the Forum, which is the fabulous Forum if you've been before, July 26th. Tickets on sale Friday the 27th at 10 a.m. Teresa, you and your man or anyone of your choosing are going for free.
Oh, nice. Thank you. Just what you needed.
More booty.
That's right. We'll make sure we get that taken care of before we go.
Teresa, love everything about you. Thanks for listening, and thank you for the kind words.
Thank you very much, Mark. Bye-bye. Keep it going. I love it.
Awesome. Trust me, we will. Thank you. All right, so we're up to the top. Well, we got 4-2, and well, we got 4-2 left.
Okay. That Mark Ronson, Bruno Mars.
Nope.
That was after the first of the year.
How about not a fan?
I'm sorry. We got 5-4-2.
I hope I'm not right. No offense. It's just not for me. Ariana Grande.
Nope.
Okay. John Legend.
Let me give you a hint. Nope.
Oh, okay.
Number 5 is In Our Backyard.
Museum of Modern Art.
The tar pits?
Yeah.
Number 5.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
AC/DC, and I've talked with Sal Cerencioni, who does rock reports on my podcast. AC/DC is one of the few classic rock acts that can still fill an arena. I'm going to give you number 4 because you'll never get it.
Really?
Coldplay?
Yep. What are you, Coldplay hater?
No.
I didn't know there was still a thing.
I didn't know they were doing anything last year.
Kind of lukewarm play.
Yeah. Nice. Tepid play.
Yeah.
Well, see, these again, these guys are still selling records.
Yeah.
So even if they didn't do anything, people are still buying their music. And because you'll never get it, I'm going to give you number 2, the number 2 best-selling act of last year. One Direction.
No.
Yep.
Really?
Yep. Boy bands rule.
Huh.
I figured it out.
I've never heard this in my life.
No.
And this is, you know, they're a boy band, but there's one thing they don't do that most all boy bands currently and in the past have done. Do you know what that is?
Dance.
Correct. One Direction doesn't dance. Mm. They're just cute, and they sing.
Moppy-haired little...
So there you go. Your top 10 best-selling acts of last year. We will pause for the cause. More Mark in the Morning is coming up. This is 100.3 The Sound. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Andy, Gina, and Uncle Joe is with us. What can we expect for the 10 at 10?
1967, probably one of the most innovative years for music and melodies and Mustangs and Camaros and anything but pantyhose. I've got that coming up here in a moment. 10 to 10, supported by Universal Studios Hollywood. When you buy a day, you get the rest of 2015 free. Opening this summer is the new Fast and the Furious supercharged ride. The pantyhose thing. See, there we go.
Thing of the past.
Yeah, thing of the past.
I'm just curious why you know so much about that hosiery from the 1960s.
I was more than a diaper in 67.
Tomorrow on Mark in the Morning, we have Fact, Crap, or Somewhere in Between. I went out and I bought a Star magazine.
Oh, no.
And so we're going to go through. I picked 4 or 5 stories. And so Andy and Gene are going to guess Fact, Crap, or Somewhere in the Middle. Katie will be in here. She is going to, the segment is called Katie Eats It So You Don't Have To.
Yes.
She's gone to the store. She's bought 3 or 4 items. We'll pick, and then she'll sample it and tell us what she thinks about it.
Awesome.
Plus, we have royalty on the show tomorrow from the Supremes, Mary Frickin' Wilson.
Oh,
it's going to be awesome.
Cool.
So go enjoy and have a fine day.
Want more Mark in the Morning? Live and in living color in Southern California. Listen weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 100.3 FM.